Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
I am good. The weather is beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's finally turning fall.
Yes. I'm on break. We're going to a party tonight.
Yeah, Halloween party. The best kind of parties.
It's going
to
be great.
Yes. I'm so excited for your hat, for your costume.
Yes.
It's a sitcom theme, and Allison's going to be Lindsay Bluth when she goes to visit the prison.
Yeah, and she's in the slut t-shirt.
And I'm going to be Ongo Gablogian art critic from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
It was just Frank Reynolds in a wig.
In a wig, yep. But I have the same color of hair. And
certainly have the outfit.
Certainly have the outfit. It's just a black turtleneck and black pants, which is pretty much my outfit in the winters. So.
Yep. So pretty excited.
I just had to pop the lenses out of my sunglasses, my big black sunglasses, and ready to go.
So funny.
Ready to go.
I can't wait to see everybody's costumes.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm going to be honest. No offense to all the rest of our friends. We have those costumes.
Okay, yeah. Everyone's like, Schitt's Creek, and I'm like,
Or a shirt that's a slut
on it. It's so funny.
Do you think they can tell I'm not wearing a bra?
I love Lindsay Bluth so much. She was in, Portia de Rossi was in this werewolf movie that I watched last night with Christina Ricci in it. And it was ridiculous. Jesse Eisenberg played her little brother.
God.
It was crazy times. And she was like this fortune teller and she had dreads. It was insanity. It was a 2005 movie, though.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, it was in 2005. So the morals there were not intact.
You know what we now know.
So it's October and we're going to talk about a horror movie today.
Yes. Now this horror movie, we were pitching ideas to each other and we were saying like, okay, either we got to do something real, real new.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie we really wanted to do.
Barbarian,
not out yet. Streaming yet.
Until the end of the month. So next month you'll probably get a Barbarian episode.
But we were like, okay, so we're not going to do that. Let's focus on like a really obscure indie film or like a film that just didn't do that great.
Right.
That nobody talked about. And we landed on this movie, Spree.
Spree, starring Joe Keery, who is a sex pot.
And you know that he's, of course, you know him from Steve in Stranger Things.
Yes.
But this movie is kind of a horror comedy.
Yes.
Pretty heavy on the comedy part.
Yeah, I'd say it's like an even more comedic, more modern American Psycho.
Yes. American Psycho does have some like actually scary parts.
Yes.
This has very few actual scares. So if you're a person that maybe likes like slasher movies or you just like movies with killers but you're not a big like jump scare or really intense scary person, there's only really a couple, if even that, of semi-intense scenes.
Yeah, I mean, there's like blood, but there's only a couple scenes of like actual kind of, I guess, gore, meaning like people dead.
Yeah, and most of the deaths are fairly unbloody.
Mm-hmm.
And most of what's interesting about this comes from the like what the fuckness
who is this guy.
Not really so much from, there's not very many super tense scary scenes. So this would be a good like watch for people who don't watch a lot of horror, who are kind of scared.
Also, if you like kind of things that are maybe being satirized, this is also something for you. We'll talk about it. But I did think this was interesting. So this has a 5.9 out of 10 on IMDb. Not very good. Has a 67% on Rotten Tomatoes. Has a 3.3 out of 5 on Letterboxd. And 80% of people liked the movie on Google.
People always like the movie on Google.
Yeah. But what I've been seeing is like a lot of viewers seem to really like it. But like
critics
are mixed. Yeah, exactly. So this film is from 2020.
When did it come out in 2020? I'm interested.
Let's look. Spree was released January 24th, 2020 at the 2020 Sundance Film Festival.
That's so interesting. I feel like there's so much in here. And this is just because I'm a Bo Burnham stan.
Ooh, yeah, we
but
are.
There's a lot of stuff in here that I feel like is so similar to Inside.
Yes.
And yet, this came out before it.
Exactly. Interesting.
Right before.
Pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
The film received mixed reviews, though critics praise Keery's performance and the premise of the film.
Yes, I do think that the premise of the film and the title are hilarious.
Oh, it's so funny. It's hilarious that, like, the rideshare is called Spree, and he's a Spree killer. It's so funny. I love that. Cracks me up. And he has, like, the Spree on, like, the Spree sign on his car, which is just hilarious as he's going on a Spree kill.
Yeah, I think that's very, you know, on the nose.
Yeah, in a very funny way. I liked it. Okay, a young man named Kurt Kunkel, very funny name again, is obsessed with being a social media star and becoming viral. A child he used to babysit, Bobby, is now an internet celebrity who frequently makes live streams and has high viewer numbers, making Kurt jealous. Kurt finds work as a driver for a rideshare app called Spree, then fits out his car with cameras and begins a new live stream titled The Lesson, where he instructs viewers on how to become famous on social media. So at first, we don't know what The Lesson is. Like, he's just referring to The Lesson and we're like,
What? But yeah, it kind of, like, as we go, it becomes clear that every part of The Lesson is just about how to get views, essentially.
Yeah. And it's really cool. I like just the way that Joe Keery is so creepy in the way he interacts with the cameras in the car.
Yeah, but it's funny because it's what I think is so great about his performance in general is it's so recognizably YouTube.
Yes.
And yet wrong.
Yeah, and it's like he's like just with like a
just the right amount of, like, I don't like that.
I don't like this guy.
Like, but he says all the words are right, all the actions are right.
Everything follow for follow.
His equipment is right. Everything about it is right, but his energy is wrong.
It's and off-putting.
I think it's interesting that he's able to exude energy through the camera while still saying things that are so recognizable that if someone else said them, we would be like, fine.
Right, exactly. Kurt starts picking up passengers and killing them with poisoned bottles of water that he hands out in his car to gain attention. We think this.
Yes.
We think that he is killing people with poison in the water bottles.
And it reveals that, like, he's put some chemical in the water that's shown at some point.
Yeah.
It doesn't show the chemical, but
it's like a tutorial that he's doing, and he's like squirting it into the bottles and then hot gluing them back together.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Follow for follow. Despite this, he doesn't gain any viewers besides Bobby, who believes the killings are fake. One of the passengers Kurt accepts is Jesse Adams, a comedian with a large social media following. So the first two people that he kills, the first guy is like this white nationalist guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, say it. Say I'm white and proud of it. And he's like, no. I love that.
Racism's bad, everyone.
Yeah, I love that Kurt is so unhinged, but he still has that line.
He has morals.
He's like, no.
Well, here's what's interesting about Kurt is I don't think he doesn't say that necessarily because he does or doesn't believe it. It's about the fact
viewers.
That he knows that if there's a video of him saying that, that then he could get canceled, which would be bad for his brand.
Exactly.
And his brand isn't racist.
And he says, like, I there can't be too much racism in this video. Like, he tells the guy that.
Because people don't like racism.
Yeah.
And that's basically, like, what it comes down to. Everything for Kurt is about the brand and about the views. It's not, like, really... He doesn't really have a personality beyond Kurt's world.
Right. Kurt's world.
The fact that it's Kurt's world 96. Like, he couldn't even get...
Kurt's world. Sad.
Like, what are you, a bot?
And then the second lady is, like, this kind of...
Pushy.
Yeah, like
realtor woman.
Yeah, so he gets her, and then there's this other guy named Mario who they do like ride share social or something, and this lady Jesse Adams, who is played by Sashir Zapata.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Zamata. Sorry, my bad. Is Jesse? She's an SNL
and
star.
Mario's kind of like. He's kind of like a guy that probably went to Hustlers Academy, if I had to guess. He's probably like, if Andrew Tate had been around, there'd probably be a reference to him right there.
Right.
He's a real Andrew Tate kind of guy, is what I would say.
So Jesse Adams is a comedian with a large social media following. Kurt is awestruck by Jesse, but she is unimpressed by Kurt and his obsession with gaining followers and leaves the ride. Yeah, he keeps telling her, like, I'll follow you. Like, follow me, please. Like, follow me.
Tag me, please. It would really help.
Squirt's world.
And I think what's great is, like, Jesse Jessie doesn't get out because of Kurt. She gets out because of Mario.
Mario, yeah. Mario's being a jerk.
A real asshat.
Yeah, he's saying like...
Smile, babe.
Yeah.
Like, he has such a pretty smile. And he follows her
mm-hmm.
on social media. And then he does... But don't worry, he kills Mario.
Yeah. Kurt later learns that Jessie will be performing in a comedy show that will be live streamed to millions. Kurt goes to Bobby's house demanding that Bobby share Kurt's stream, but Bobby refuses and starts live streaming their argument, attracting a large audience. Kurt kills Bobby and takes his gun before live streaming for Bobby's fans, who assume the murder is fake. Yeah, he like zooms in on his like dead face, and all the commenters are like, fake, looks fake.
Yeah, seriously, like, oh, that blood does not look real, like, etc.
Kurt's father, Chris, who's played by David Arquette, heartbreaking performance. His father, Chris, asks him for a ride to a club where he is performing, claiming that a famous DJ called Uno will be there and promising that the DJ will tag Kurt in a photo. When Kurt picks up Chris and takes him to the club, he approaches Uno. She initially refuses to tag him, but then asks him to take her to a taco truck with the promise of tagging him. They don't mention that... This is the part where, like, Chris is talking about how... Well, Kurt's like, I found your heroin.
Yeah, Kurt and his dad get into an argument about how his dad used to be a junkie. Mm-hmm. And that's why his parents separated and his mom had to raise him. And then, basically, he's talking about how that morning when he was with his mom...
Mm-hmm.
He found two baggies of heroin that he had left there.
Yeah.
Now... Thinking back, I wonder whether or not he actually planted that
That's
heroin,
what I'm thinking.
Because he knew his dad would go to get it.
Right.
But then also, I don't really know. It's not really clear. And for reasons that we'll kind of talk about, it's not really clear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's possible that either that heroin was accidentally left there or it was planted
by
him.
Yep. And that's a really sad scene.
Yeah.
They go to a taco truck, and Uno's like, I'll tag you. While waiting for Kurt to get her some food from the truck, Uno discovers Bobby's gun and poses with it on a live stream before drinking some of the poisoned water and passing out.
I thought she was going to shoot herself on her.
Oh my God, me too!
I was so scared. I was like, the thing he said about the gun's going to come back.
Yeah. After realizing this, Kurt attempts to drive away but is stopped by two police officers who grow suspicious of him. It is revealed that Kurt's murders have already become known to the public, and with Kurt being called the rideshare killer after police are unable to identify him.
It's so funny that they don't call him the spree killer because...
It's so funny!
It's like so stupid that they don't call him the obvious name, the spree killer.
Hilarious.
Yeah, but at this point he gets basically stopped because... There's a woman passed out in his seat.
Mm-hmm.
He's acting real weird and nervous. And he's got a spree sticker, so they know he's a spree driver.
Right.
And there is a spree killer on the loose.
Spree killer on the loose. Uno, having survived drinking the poison water, we think it just sedates them.
I think it's possible that it's not poison. I think it's possible it's just a sedative.
Yeah, because he has a gun and he has a gun now, but he has like a drill in his back.
Yeah, and also like... The first two die by the water, but all the other people he kills in other ways.
Yes.
Like, they didn't even talk about, doesn't the three party people happen before Uno?
Oh, I think so.
They don't even talk about that. He kills the white supremacist man mm-hmm. and the realtor lady with water.
And then these three Gen Zs.
Then he kills Mario by running
him
over.
Yeah.
Then he kills like three Gen Z people are at a party and he kills them in a very unique way. He kills one with a drill and mm-hmm. the other two get attacked
by dogs. Because he has them up in like the sunroof and like messing with them and stuff. And then like there's these dogs in the... what is it, junkyard that he basically takes them to?
And at this point, this is honestly how I think the police become known to him as those three.
Right.
Because they are all live streaming their ride when they die. So, but they're not huge.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that's how they become known to the police because he's not in any of those videos.
Right.
But they know that they were on a ride share.
Kurt tries to flee, but he too is pursued by more police, forcing him to escape while crashing his car through a homeless camp. And also, this is so interesting, the way he's, like, talking to the homeless people. Like, you have no followers, you don't even exist.
Yeah, he says that a lot. He talks about how if nobody knows you, if you're not famous...
Then you don't exist.
Then you might as well not be real if you don't have followers.
Which I think is another way of him making sense into himself that that's okay to kill these people.
Yeah, because they're not like real people.
Right.
They're nobodies.
Yeah. With Kurt's murders becoming more well-known, Spree is temporarily shut down to allow an investigation to take place. Jessie begins her show performing a bit about her encounter with Kurt and how disgusted she is by people's desperation for social media fame, before concluding her set by destroying her phone on stage, followed by a mic drop. I will say she also mentions that she relates to Kurt.
Yeah, she talks not just about how she's disgusted with how people are obsessed with social media followings, but how she's disgusted with herself because that is her.
Yeah.
That's exactly who she is. She's like, she saw herself in Kurt and saw how sad and desperate it was, and then did not like seeing that reflected in herself, right, essentially.
Her actions cause her speech to go viral. After getting drunk, she is picked up by Kurt via another rideshare app called GoGo, with Kurt having killed the previous driver. Yeah, and also Kyle Mooney's there. Yeah. Kurt gloats that as Jessie destroyed her phone on stage, she has no way of calling for help. She tries to escape after learning he is taking her to his house.
To, by the way, assault her.
Yeah.
Sexually
assault her, yeah. He's not good. But it's like, but it's all through like the app, right? It's all through about him asking, like, what should I do? Should I fuck, marry, or kill her?
That happens after. At first, he kind of relates. It seems like, okay, so you think Kurt died in the car accident, but he doesn't die in the car accident.
Oh, he talks about the sex tape. That's right.
Yes, he comes back and he talks about how I've been going about this all the wrong way. Like, getting viral, hurting people isn't the way to go viral. Loving people is the way to go viral. And he kind of, because Jessie had talked about how she felt like him, I think he kind of felt like, oh, there's this connection between us and we need to exploit that for views.
Yes.
But there is no connection. And also, that's not it.
Nope, not it, though.
And then when she resists him, that's when he is trying to decide what's the best course of action. And he asks his follower, fuck, marry, kill.
Unable to get out of the car, Jessie garrots Kurt with a charger cable, causing him to crash. But Kurt recovers and beats Jessie unconscious. He arrives at his house and places Jessie's unconscious body outside before being requested by his now eager followers to kill Jessie. Distracted by a faulty camera, Kurt doesn't notice Jessie regaining consciousness. She manages to take control of the car and crashes into Kurt's house while trying to run him over. Kurt flees into the house while Jessie is confronted by an intoxicated Chris. Not just intoxicated, he's like on heroin and he has like a needle sticking out of his arm. It's very sad.
He's definitely high and he's gonna call the cops too. Like, he was gonna call the cops.
Yeah. The pair discover Kurt's dead mother, who had been killed by Kurt at the start of his live stream. This is so sad whenever he's like, oh my god, what did you do? Did you kill her? It's so sad. Kurt shoots his father dead and tries to kill Jessie, but she pins him to the wall with the car, beats him to death with his own phone. She takes a selfie with his dead body and posts it on her Instagram account. Jessie becomes a nationwide star after taking credit for disrupting Kurt's rampage, while Kurt and his killings become revered in some small corners of the internet. A great ending.
Yes. I think this movie kind of had a semi-rocky start.
Right.
But it really does kind of find its footing for me after he meets Uno. I think that's where the movie really finds solid footing. And then from there, I think it's very good.
Yeah.
I do think at the beginning, it kind of like is a little, what's the tone here?
Yeah.
But by the end, I think the tone is really nice. And it strikes a good balance between horrifying and comedic.
Yes. Yeah, and I think just the message is very good, obviously. That message of, like, that Kurt and Jessie really aren't that different.
Yeah, I think that the point of this movie kind of is, like, how far are people willing to go to get famous, and what's the difference in all of them?
Yes. How is it different for, like, Jessie to, like, show us all through her life and do all these different things for these likes, and then Kurt's also putting everything he has into getting likes, but he's, you know, doesn't have the talent that she has to back it up.
Right. And you think about, like, Bobby, I think is a good, like, middle point between
right.
them. Right. Because Jessie really doesn't do anything. And somehow she is able to gain all these followers. And quite frankly, her comedy is pretty mid-tier.
It's pretty basic. It's pretty
basic, like, observational humor.
Yeah, but she's likable.
But she is a likable person. She's pretty. She's likable. And she's affable, and those things make her famous. Those are the things that attract people to her. Then you have Bobby, who himself, he's attractive. He's the kid from Vine. He's, but like, but he has to do a little bit crazier stuff. Like, he's more like on the Logan Paul spectrum, right? Where it's like...
not as respected, but pranks, still very popular.
It's pranks. It's the Mr. Beast shit. It's like, oh, give a... prank homeless people. Oh, but do charity for homeless people.
Right.
Because that's who I am now. Because I don't want to get canceled. But like, but it is that kind of like Logan Paul, we are the boys, join our hype house kind of thing. And then you have Kurt, who's on the very other end of the spectrum where...
no followers.
He's doing everything. He's throwing every single thing he can at the wall. He's tried just being himself. That didn't work. He tried the pranks and shit. That didn't work. He tried explanation videos. That didn't work. He's tried everything. Nothing's sticking for him. So he's just going to keep finding shit until something sticks. And the thing that ultimately ends up sticking for him...
is killing people.
Is murder. And being the worst. And being loved for being hated.
Yeah. And I mean, we see this, I don't know if it was how conscious it was, but like you definitely get like those Elliot Rodgers, like...
I can't imagine.
I mean, Elliot Rodgers, for anyone who doesn't know, is that guy who like made all those videos about how he's the supreme gentleman and how he thinks that he should just kill all these sorority sisters because they won't date him. And then he did go out and kill a bunch of sorority sisters.
Yeah.
And now he's like Saint Elliot on the incel boards.
Yeah. He's like kind of the original incel.
Yeah.
I mean... he kind of, like, is the reason incel is a coined term,
yes.
I should say.
Yeah.
At least, obviously, the original incel was probably the first man. But, he is the original coining.
Yeah.
The reason we have the term incel is because of Elliot Rodgers.
The internet prototype of the incel.
Yes. And, I mean, Joe Keery, in a way, kind of, I think he does resemble Elliot Rodgers a lot. Because Elliot Rodgers was not a horrible-looking man, nor is Joe Keery... there's, for all intents and purposes, why shouldn't Elliot Rodgers have been able to get a woman? Why can't Joe Keery
get followers? Yeah.
It's because something about them is fundamentally off-putting to people.
Yes, it's fundamentally, something inside them is fundamentally wrong or coming off as wrong to other people.
Yes, and people can sense that. It's the, everybody that ever knew Elliot Rodgers says, like, yeah, I went on a date with him, but he was just so fucking weird. Like, I just felt unsafe the minute I was near him.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Keery, like, in this, Kurt, there's, yes, he's hitting all the numbers. He's doing all the trends.
He's saying all the things he's supposed to say.
He's saying all the things. He has the equipment. There's really no reason why he shouldn't be going viral. It's because he, whatever it is that makes someone likable to a enough people on the internet that they can latch on, he doesn't have it.
Yeah. And I think they don't mention this in the Wikipedia article, but, like, the film, we're to believe, is a fan compilation.
Yeah, well, yes, at the very, very end, when it's going through, you find out that he kind of has his corner of the internet
right.
that he's finally found, and he finally got what we always wanted.
Yeah, people say, oh, he's my favorite streamer ever,
right,
like, I love him.
He wanted to find a group of people who would be his fans, and he did. And Elliot Rodgers always wanted attention and love and adoration, and he found that.
Yeah.
He just had to...
find the group of people.
And that meant going incredibly far and abandoning morality. And if morality is a thing that either of those two people had at all, which this movie would kind of lead you to believe that no, he does not have any sense of morality, really. But all of that is, like, there's something... there's a comment at the very end of that sort of, like, here's the people he saw on the internet thing. And one of the comments is, like, I made a movie of, like, the timeline from no followers to, like, here. And we're kind of led to believe that this entire movie, the reason that it's all been footage that he streamed.
Right.
Or that somebody else streamed is because this is a fan edit of his story. Which is why some things lack plot holes. Which is why...
you don't get as much character development.
You don't get to see a lot of his...
Inner life.
You just get to see a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. And the stuff that he shows through whatever he's streaming.
About whether or not...
or what his dad streams.
Whether or not he planted that heroin. It's hard to know because we do know that he killed his mom.
Yes.
We know that at the beginning, there's a time when he sees his mom and he goes like, oh, wait, mom, I forgot something.
And he goes inside.
He goes back in and he
kills her. Yeah.
And now, is this morality because he loved his mom, was like the only person that he ever loved, and he mm-hmm. didn't want her to see him be around to see what
he's gonna become.
Do.
Yeah,
that's honestly a pretty common thing for people that go on spree kills mm-hmm. is to kill whoever their primary caretaker is mm-hmm. so that they won't have to live with the consequences of what their loved one has done.
Yes, they won't have to know.
And or like, maybe it was just random and that was just his first kill and he knew that would make him more notable. I'm not sure.
Yeah, or maybe he was just like, cover up my tracks. I can't have her looking for me.
When he calls his dad mm-hmm. and tells him about the heroin, that's where I wonder, like, so was he planning on that night killing his father anyway? But then it's like, but he didn't even know where he was going to be with the Jesse thing because we're kind of led to presume that the Jesse thing happens, that he does that because of her set.
Right, because you see this realization coming over his face in that whole scene.
But is it that? Or was he always kind of planning to take her back and do that? Why? I mean, why? Or maybe they just haven't, those plans coincided. We don't really know. Mm-hmm. And we can't know because he didn't stream his inner monologue about the plan because obviously he wanted the plan to unfold for his followers.
Exactly. Which, we were talking about how, like, we were kind of disappointed that there wasn't that glimpse into his inner life. But with the ending, it does make more sense as to why it is not there.
The number one thing I think this movie kind of misses and why it kind of gets off to such a rocky start is the kills start very, very early. Mm-hmm. And they don't have a lot of weight placed on them at all.
Or explanation at all.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really know what has led him to... this is what he thinks he has to do. Because mm-hmm. I thought at first... it was going to be accidental. There was going to be an accidental death.
And then he's going to get
it. Was going to go viral. And then it was going to be like...
he'll realize that, like, oh, this is what I can do.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
But no. I mean, from the beginning, that's...
it's his plan.
That was, okay, this is my plan. I'm going to kill a bunch of people.
And I'll get...
and
I'll be
I'll
famous.
Get famous. Because everyone that's like a serial killer is famous. And he's right.
It's true. You're right.
But then, you know, the comedy of this is almost that... he can't get caught. He's trying so hard to get caught. He just can't be caught. That's like what the comedy is. Like, he's murdering people in broad daylight, broadcasting it, but because no one gives a shit. Because
no one's watching his feeds.
Because nobody likes him so much, the cops aren't finding out. And the only reason he's getting caught is because people more famous than him are dying.
Yes, exactly. Like those mid-tier, like
Gen Z, like people just have a couple thousand followers. Are live streaming their night out and they get dead, and that's the only reason anyone knows that there's even murder happening.
That there's a spree killer on the loose.
That's obviously like very comical and sad in and of itself, but in a way it's kind of true. It's kind of true, but I feel like because he is really unlikable, and all the only thing that's making you feel like you can watch this at all is the fact that at the beginning, all the people he kills are hyper unlikable.
Yes.
Compared to him.
Yeah, the first guy, they just come out with him being, like, the most unlikable. Like, racist.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And, like, obviously, as the movie goes on, he becomes more and more unlikable. You kind of see the depth of his... how little he cares for, how little he values human life.
How he does not see other people as actual humans. Yeah.
And you kind of realize, like, just the depth of this man's, like, depravity. Mm-hmm. But I almost wish that they focused a little bit more on how he ended up here.
Right.
Because I do think that it would make... just realizing how depraved he is, it would make it more heartbreaking for us. But at the same way, then he would kind of have to be likable. And he's not likable. That's the point.
That's why he doesn't have any followers, because he's not likable at all.
I mean, how can you not even hit double digits?
For real.
Anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I could post from a brand new account and hit more than double digits.
Yeah. Oof. It's really... this whole movie's just very sad. Like, I just was sad throughout. Even though, like, it's thrilling and funny, like, I'm still just, like...
it's
very sad for this person.
It's how empty
he is.
Yeah, it's also just a very sad look into, like... the, like, influencer culture.
Right.
And how a lot of people... it's similar to, like, in similar ways, like, bodies, bodies, bodies or something... mm-hmm. Where it's just a talk about everybody wants to be famous, and for what? Like, what do you even have to offer?
Right.
Like, I myself have had conversations with people who, when I ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up, or what do you want to do professionally, and they say influencer, and I'm like, oh, what's your gig? And they're like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, why should anybody watch you? Yeah.
The Sunny guys talk about this all the time on their podcast.
I mean, truly, like, what is the thing?
What is your thing, though?
Do you cook? Oh, you don't cook. Do you sing? No, you don't. What do you do?
Do you paint? What do you do?
I'm me on the internet. And you're like, why should anybody care about watching you on the internet? And this is like one of those things where it's like, what if somebody never grew out of that?
Yeah.
What if somebody became so obsessed with that that they just couldn't give it up?
And they just kept pushing, they took it so far.
That finally they tried the ultimate thing to give you.
And they did.
And they did get views. And I think that's something else, too, because I think this is a pretty honest depiction of what actually would happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think...
looks fake.
I'm sorry, but, like, there have been people that have streamed their murders.
Yeah.
There have been people who have taken selfies with their murder victims. There have been people who murdered people just so that they could post it and get views. That is not... that's reality. People have done that already. Mm-hmm. And they did get notoriety.
I mean, that's the way you do it.
That's an interesting story. And
yeah.
I think you kind of see in Kurt, I see a lot of like Logan Paul.
Right.
And obviously Logan Paul is not murdering
people. Right, he's not to that.
Something inside of me wonders like if he could.
Without actually having like repercussions.
Would he? I'm not really sure he wouldn't.
Yeah, right?
I'm not sure there's a lot of people that wouldn't murder for views if they knew that it was... that
they wouldn't get caught.
Because I'm not sure that to them, at least to them, for them, what's the difference? I mean, if you're going to do some of the stuff that some of these people on the internet have done to other people, mm-hmm. you don't value others above yourself.
Right. I mean, they're props, right? Like, that is what they are to Kurt, is they're his props.
And this is just that idea and that sort of, like, culture taken to its extreme.
Yeah. I agree. I have a review from the New York Times.
Go for it.
This is called Spree Review Desperately Seeking Likes. Hideous to look at and agonizing to listen to. Spree must hold the record for the greatest number of annoying characters in a single movie. Coarsely merging social media critique and slasher comedy, this shallow take on the evils of internet addiction is as unoriginal as it is unfunny. Joe Keery plays Kurt Kunkel, a floppy-haired psychopath frustrated that his Instagram followers have numbered in the single digits for more than a decade. A crude sketch of his life thus far includes his excitable father, I don't know why you're calling it, a DJ pursuing his own Xanadu of screen views, and a frenemy whose online fame far exceeds Kurt's. Tired of beseeching other influencers to tag him in their feeds, Kurt, a driver for a rideshare service called Spree, hits on a plan. If he murders his more repugnant passengers, a white supremacist here, a mouth-breathing chauvinist there, and live streams their fates, then his online celebrity will surely explode. I don't think that them deserving it is part of his gig.
No, I just think he doesn't care.
I don't think he cares who he kills.
I don't think it, like, it's not that he thinks these people are bad. He just doesn't give a shit. And the only reason that he killed anybody that's bad is by random chance. And that's just, the only reason they have him kill unlikable people at first is so that we don't hate him too early.
Exactly.
Essentially.
Yeah. Director Eugene, I'm so sorry, I'm going to mispronounce this guy's name. Kotliarenko? Spree is an aesthetic nightmare of screens within screens, splitting and reshaping and crawling with real-time commentary on Kurt's bloody deeds. This infection of our movie visuals with hectic impersonations of online behavior has been spreading for a while now, and Spree reaches some kind of nadir. Moreover, the film's lack of perceptiveness is disappointing, and they say that a different thing on HBO would do better. Does it better?
I mean, here's the thing. Is it, like, the most smart commentary ever? Not really.
No.
It's like what is being said here that hasn't been said 1,000 times? But what is being said anywhere that hasn't been said 1,000 times? It's doing an okay job of saying it.
And it's funny.
It's funny. And I think, to me, what's more interesting than anything is... and I kind of wish they had explored this more, but because of their fan edit type of take, it
right.
was not possible.
Right.
Organically, at least, which, I mean, you could just critique as, like, a bad mode of storytelling then.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish we had seen more parallels between Jesse and Kurt.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, Jesse fucking kills him and for takes basically no reason, by the way.
And takes a picture with his bloody face, dead body, and gets famous. How is she any different? She's not.
Quite frankly, that's not moral. That's not a moral thing. It's not like Jesse is somehow of super high morality. She's just like him, which she herself says that she's just like him.
And she proves that in the final movie, in the final end scene of the movie.
Just like him.
Yeah.
Everyone's just like him. They're just better at it.
Yeah, they have something to back it up.
And ultimately, that's all that matters. And I think that in a way, that's what this is saying is all influencers are Logan Paul. Mm-hmm. All influencers are Elliot Rodgers. They just don't have to do as much. And quite frankly, obviously, no. That's obviously not true. Not every influencer. Logan Paul probably wouldn't go to the depths of Elliot Rodgers.
Right. Probably not shoot up a sorority house.
And probably some random mommy blogger would not do what Logan Paul does.
Yeah.
But the point
It all comes from the same place, though.
The point is that it all comes from the same place and that they just don't have to do it.
Yeah. It's all that desire to be seen, and it is pathetic in everyone, but we all have it.
We all have, and that is. It is pathetic in everyone. It is sad, and it's a bad impulse.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's also what the movie is talking about, is when Jesse talks about her all eyes on me, which is funny enough, right?
I know,
that's
2020.
I was like, how could this not be a Bo Burnham reference? It's not a
Bo Burnham. It's not, because it didn't.
This is these two independent all eyes on me statements were made both in the year 2020. But it's the concept of everybody should look at me all of the time. That is something that's been touched on several times, and it's a bad impulse.
Yes.
But it's an impulse that many people have, and that
And the internet allows us to really feed.
And that as the internet becomes a more pervasive part of our society, that we are encouraged to feed, and in some ways punished
if we don't.
For not feeding.
Right.
And that's the homeless people thing.
Yeah, like, you don't mean it, you don't, nothing matters, like, you don't matter because you don't have any followers.
But also even just, and I'm not sure the movie's trying to say this, or it meant to say this,
right.
I'm not gonna give it, like, all that much credit, but, I mean, look in just our society, homeless people being killed by serial killers is not a new thing.
No, I mean, that's one of their top victims.
I mean,
them and sex workers.
What are they?
The less dead.
The less dead.
Yeah.
This idea that people who people don't want to see.
They're not as dead as everyone else.
When they die, it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah.
That's been a concept and a term for a long time. Mm-hmm. Because the idea that the less people that know you, the worse of a victim you are, heavy air quotes around that, the worse of a victim you are, the less your death matters. And obviously we know that that's not true.
Right.
But it might as well be true for as much as it fundamentally affects how likely you are to be found.
Yes.
And we can see that in this. The first three people that die, nobody necessarily will miss them or knows that they're dead when it happens. And so their deaths effectively don't matter to the police and don't matter to Kurt. It's only after those, like, moderately influencer-type people get dead on camera that anyone even notices anyone's gone.
Right.
And I think that, like,
and that just backs up, like, his idea, right?
Yeah,
that, like,
which is that, like,
you don't matter if you don't have followers.
Yeah, the more people there are to look at you all of the time, the more you matter to society. And, I mean, that's part of the reason he doesn't kill Jesse. And it's part of the reason he's not trying to kill Uno.
Right.
Because
she's of use to him.
And because to him, they are worth something.
Right.
They have a large following, and that
Their deaths would mean something.
That would mean something to him. And Bobby's death does mean something to him.
Mm-hmm.
It means, oh, I have to do this because that's the way that I need the followers.
Yeah.
And it's, obviously, Kurt is fucked up, but,
right.
like,
and Joe Keery does such a good job of just showing that, like,
Joe Keery is excellent.
He's so good. He's just plays such a good, like, husk of a human being.
Yes.
He's great.
But I really think that, like, and I'm not sure, I don't want to give the movie too much credit here. I'm not sure how smart it's trying to say any of that. I do see how it could be shallow. And again, I think it does have a lot to say. I do think maybe the medium in which they chose to tell it was not the most effective medium for telling that story.
Right.
And it kind of, like, hit them a little bit. Like, it kind of like hit their point a little much. Like it becomes hard to understand those parallels or to really drive those home if, you know, you're watching four different smart camera videos right. at the same time.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't really care about that aesthetically. I mean, yeah, do I think found footage doesn't work 95% of the time?
Yes.
I think 95% of the time a found footage film could be done with regular camera work and it would be better. But I don't think it's the worst. I also really love this movie has, you can go to Kurt's World 96 on
it's
basically
so good.
Any social media.
Right.
And there is a lot of lore, and they put a lot of effort into the internet presence of
yes.
this. I do appreciate, I think that that does really add.
I think so, too. I was looking through his TikTok and his Instagram, mm-hmm. like, all that stuff, that content that Joe Keery made for, like, just the movie is just really great.
Yeah.
I have some trivia. Not very much, but some. When building the character of Kurt Kunkel, the director and Joe Keery watched lots of cringe compilations and videos from people without a big following.
That makes sense, because then they can really get, they can capture that energy. Why did this not go viral?
Yeah.
Why is this cringe?
Yeah. Writer and director said he did 40 all-nighters writing all the comments and usernames that appear throughout the movie.
Yeah, that I believe.
I believe that.
So much.
It's so interesting, too. I love, I don't usually like movies where you have to, like, look at, like, the comments and stuff, but I really did enjoy it here because I think it adds to, like, the message of the film.
Well, what I think is good about it is you don't need to see it.
No, but it adds
to. It's fun if you do.
Yeah, it adds to, like, your experience, I think, if you do. Because you'll be like, why aren't these people reporting anything? You look in the comments and they're like, looks fake.
Yeah, because I don't believe it.
Yeah. During the scene with the taco truck, a comment on Kurt's stream says, "What up? I'm Jared, and I'm 19, and I never fucking learn how to read."
Hell yeah.
So that's a reference to the guy who plays Bobby.
One of my all-time favorite vines, by the way.
Only two scenes in Sri were filmed with a film camera. Despite this movie coming out in 2020, as of July 2022, Joe Keery is still posting on TikTok as Kurt under the account Kurt's World.
Yep.
Elliot Rodger was a key inspiration for the character of Kurt Kunkel.
Shocking.
Shocking. The various video blogs for Kurt's World were shot a few months before production began on the movie. Kyle Mooney only worked on the film for 2 days. And the guy who played Mario got a spray tan for the role.
Very nice. He looks great.
Yeah. So, yeah. I thought it was I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah. I don't know if this is, like, a movie I'd, like, watch again and again and again.
Right, right.
But it was a fine movie. I thought it was decent.
I'd show it to any Joe Keery fan.
Yeah.
For sure.
And it's fun. It's again, like, a good Halloween movie if you're not too into scary stuff.
Right. And, like, if you think, like, horror satire and stuff like that is funny.
Yeah, if you like horror comedy, you know, let's be real, you don't have a lot of options.
Right.
So, go and enjoy this one. This one's decent.
Yeah, it is very funny. What would you give this movie?
I'd probably give it, like, a 7.
I'd give it a 7. That's what I was thinking. Solid movie.
Solid. Not great. Not bad.
No.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Joe Keery's so hot, though.
So hot.
But even as, like, cringy boy, it's like,
he's cutie. Okay, as always, IMDb review. 1 out of 10, not funny, didn't laugh. This movie tries so hard to be trendy and smart, but fails miserably. Spree is a car ride that drives straight off a cliff. Hate is a strong word, but that's the word I'd use. I hated this movie. Plot. The plot has some originality to it. I've never seen a movie about an Uber-like app used by a spree killer before. Sadly, that's where the originality ends. The plot gets more boring and predictable as the story unfolds, and you're left scratching your head at some of the piss-poor decisions that these characters make. None of the characters really add anything except funny jokes. They're all one-dimensional, except for Kurt, whom is interesting, but like the plot, his character is thrown out halfway through the story. Ending made this mess even worse. Characters. Characters are so boring, especially Jessie Adams. When she was on the screen, I was dying, not of laughter, but of cringe.
For her?
So many references to unfunny topics that were added so the movie seemed hip. But again, I don't think that. I think Jessie is kind of supposed to be like a little cringe.
I think so too.
She's just like less cringe than him and delivers it in a more palatable format. I think that's the idea, is she as a person is not cringe. Her content's not very good. I mean, like, let's be real. Like, we've all seen that content.
Exactly.
A million times.
It's so basic.
It's basic, yeah. Spree definitely has a character issue, even Kurt. The literal main character is just boring. He had some good moments in the beginning, but slowly gets repetitive and over the top halfway through the movie. I hated the characters the most. Overall, the movie was bad. I won't be watching it again.
Too bad.
Too bad. I mean, I don't know. I think that I have a hard time wondering if I'm giving this movie too much credit or if it really was attempting to do all this. Because I see how people could not have grasped certain things. Like, I see that in some ways I'm kind of looking
for things.
Or I'm looking to make these connections in a way. And I wonder if that, I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know if I'm over connecting.
I don't know. I do think that with the ending, I think the idea that they are trying to draw a comparison between...
Yeah, there are just certain things that happen that I'm like, how could you not be trying to make that statement?
Right. Like, at the very end, I'm like, they're obviously drawing comparisons between the two. They're showing, like, both of their, online presences, like, all at the same time. Like, it makes sense, I think.
Yeah.
Briefly, before we go, I did want to talk about Olivia Wilde.
Oh, my God. We talked about Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah, and
last.
Part of our issue with her was that she was like, this movie's about female pleasure.
A lot.
Like, that's all she was saying, and she was saying, like, in my movie, women come.
A lot.
She
would not shut up. And also, the sex scenes are really long.
Yeah.
In the movie. Which was her decision, by the way.
You're the director, Olivia. And now she's trying to walk back her comments, and she's like, Florence was right. We do focus too much on the sex. I'm like, you're the one who's been feeding the media this.
Also, Olivia, you made the movie. Goddamn. Just say, I made a bad call here. I should have listened to Florence. Oh, no.
No.
But she says, like, the movie really... They really. And you're like, they, you? They, you?
You are the director, Olivia.
Referring to myself in the third person, and also I use they, them pronouns now.
I just need to distance myself as much as possible.
They really made some bad calls on that movie.
And also, like, some comments that...
They as in you? They as in the person who made the movie? God damn.
Oh, so funny. I just love that she's trying to gaslight everyone and is like, I didn't say that, guys. And
You did. You have it on tape.
We know you said that.
It's written.
It's written down that you said that.
I'm sorry, babe, but you're not backing out of this one.
Oh, goodness. Well, Allison works for the rest of the weekends this month. But I'm sure we will do Barbarian
soon,
whenever it comes out on streaming, and you guys can have that to look forward to. So thank you so much for listening, and check out our Patreon if you want a ton of back catalog episodes.
Yes.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.